Here's a personal question for you. Do you really believe that the God of the universe knows you and every anxious thought that keeps you awake at night? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll guides us on a life-changing exploration of Psalm 139. In our age of isolation and fear, when headlines scream danger and we're weakened by doubt, we desperately need confidence that God is on our side. This ancient psalm delivers it big time. You're not alone. You're not forgotten. You're held in His arms. Chuck titled today's message, Our Greatest Reassurance.
The prophet writes, Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you. Get this, with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10, my hand is on you. You're not alone. As my child, you're never alone. My wife has gone through spinal surgery, and it's been lengthy and very painful. The surgeon literally rebuilt her spine. Incision from the front, that took 3.5 hours. Incision at the back, another almost 6 hours. I was with her through every bit of this, day and night. Through the days at ICU, at the hospital, and 2 full weeks in rehab, and now at home, sleeping near her, right there to help. In the middle of the night, I don't know about you, but your mind can play tricks on you. If you ever have moments of fear, they'll usually come when it's dark, when the sun goes down and the lights are out. And in my case, you may hear the groaning of the one you love. And you can easily feel, I'm in this alone. Are we going to make this? Is this going to come out okay? I don't know how many times I've been reassured with the thought that His hand is on me. His hand is on her. It's a reassurance. I'm here. With me, there is no day or night. There is no light or dark. I'm right here. You know what? I had been preparing this message today, and that verse stood out. It's like He reached out of this vast, dark sky and put His hand on me and said, I'm here. I know what I'm doing. You're in my care. You may live alone, and you may go through feelings like that often. It's an unusual feeling for me because my life is filled with the joy of a home and loving wife and kids who usually like us. Not always, but usually 3 out of 4 like us. And we're, that brings a lot of comfort, but you may not have a family. You may live alone. You may often be in a dark room in the middle of the night when fear could take over. He knows you're lying down, and He's put the boundaries around you right where He wants them. And then He reaches out and puts His hand on you. I love the words of the prophet. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, she may forget, but I will not forget you. I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your ways are continually before me. I love that. Take a moment, look at your hand right now, okay? Look at the palm of your hand. I know you're familiar with it. Don't you wish you'd taken better care of yourself? Look at all those wrinkles. And you know what? You're very familiar. I'm asking you to look at something very familiar. Our ways are that familiar to God. Every path, every turn, every decision, every struggle, everything he is aware of. That's called his omniscience. He knows you. Seasons come and go, years pass, age stacks up, people change. Times go from peaceful to warlike, treacherous to tranquil. He's there. His hand is on us. Thank you, David, for telling us this, for putting it in your song. In fact, he says, it's too high. I can't attain to it. I can't either. You can't imagine. He keeps up with all of us, knows exactly what he's doing, and equally important, knows exactly what we're doing. Blows my mind. What reassurance. The sacred song of David goes on in 7 through 12 by addressing his wonderful presence everywhere. Look at this. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Those are rhetorical questions asked to make you think. Where can you go that he isn't? And he goes into several possibilities. These are conditional answers. If. Look at them. If I ascend all the way to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, you're there. And I love the next phrase. If I take the wings of the dawn, I like to think that that's a reference to the speed of light. Soon as the sun tips the horizon, flashes of light come across this earth, traveling 186,000 miles a second. Light travels. And in that flash of light, if I could travel that speed, look at it, and ultimately dwell in the remotest part of the sea. To David, the sea would be the Mediterranean. We know now the seas are all about us. Great oceans on either side of our nation. Other oceans as well. If I go to the remotest part of the sea, the most distant, remote island that isn't even inhabited, and I am there. Even there, he adds in verse 10, here it is again, your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. How about when I doubt that? Look at the next verse. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me. It's going to hide me from him. It's going to overshadow his presence in my life. No, he says, the night around me is as bright as day. See the end of verse 12. Darkness and light are both the same to you. I don't know if you followed this, but he has gone to extremes. Height, heaven, depth, the grave, width and breadth as we go across the seas to a remote island, darkness and light, day and night. These verses span the extremes, and at no place, at any place are we removed from our God. The darkest cave, the highest place we can go in space, the deepest part of the ocean, miles down there, wherever we may be, he's deeper still. Remember the words of Betsy in The Hiding Place? Corrie ten Boom remembered them and would repeat them in her years following the Holocaust. There is no pit so deep but that he is not deeper still. Some of you need to remember that because you feel distant, maybe even abandoned, removed, forgotten. These verses 7 through 12 say you can be reassured. He knows everything about you. Remember the verse of Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce between the soul and spirit, between the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner, it is a critic of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's verse 12. You know what verse 13 says? Look at this verse. There is no creature hidden from his sight. Keep reading. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Look at that. Isn't that great? Isn't it funny, when you were a kid, something was happening and you got scared, you pulled the covers up over you, as if that's going to take away the danger. We do that as adults in a number of different ways. We cover up when we're in the wrong and act as though nobody's going to know. Oh, listen to me. There's nothing he doesn't know. There's no moment where you hear in heaven, "Oh, look at that. Gabriel, come here. Look at this." None of that. He knows it all. He knows right now your very thought, your deepest fear, your most frequent anxiety, your worry list. He's already been aware of that before you made it. There is no creature hidden from his sight. You know the good thing about it? His hand is with me. His right hand holds me. He isn't looking at me and shaming me. He's looking at me and loving me, caring about me. And the same for you. When did his interest in us get started? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 13. Stanza number 3. Hang on, because you won't read this in Planned Parenthood. You won't hear about this from the media today. You formed my inward parts. You, God, not Mother Nature. By the way, she's not in existence. There is no Mother Nature. Only God. You, God, and none other formed my inward parts. The word means kidneys. It means the visceral organs. You put together the stuff that made me who I am. And go further. You wove me in my mother's womb. It's the idea of plaiting and weaving together into a beautiful tapestry. You did that when I was still in embryonic fetal state. You were right there in the womb. This is before there was ever a probe of a woman's womb. This is before any of that has taken place. The psalmist writes, "I give thanks for you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Now look at verse 15. Here's the skeleton. The word frame means bony substance. My skeleton. The structure of my body, my skeleton, was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Tell me that isn't a living soul in the womb of the mother. God is at work in a living being, and he's putting together, skillfully working this wonderful embryo, this fetus, so that he sees our unformed substance. And in his book, it was all written, the days ordained for me when there was not yet one of them. You go, "I don't get it." Well, nobody gets it. It's beyond our ability. Even the writer himself says, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." What's the comfort of this? God made you just like you are. So quit trying to be somebody else. He gave you that face. Okay? We look at it all the time. It's okay. You're made by God. There's no other like you, even among identical twins. May look alike, they're not alike. They're different. God doesn't do cloning. He makes individuals. He makes some of us creative and others of us to be engineers. I don't mean that the wrong way, but you know, kind of phlegmatic type. Some of us are all over the map. Others are artistic. Others have ability in sports. I mean, the big thing now is catching a football with one hand. One hand! I work hard to get hands and feet to grab one. The kid gets it with one hand. He's gifted. How? God made him. Why am I yelling? God made him like that. Yeah, now, you may have a kid that doesn't like football. Relax. Don't try to make him like football. Can you imagine Liberace as a linebacker? I mean, honestly. Because he's not made for that. Your kid may be made to play piano. Your kid may be 6 feet four, seventh grade, a girl. You know what your girl needs to know? Psalm 139. Nobody has it in for her. God made her tall. God may have made you short. God does this. He's engaged in this. This is before Botox. Okay? Relax. Let it be. When you rely on the great doctrines of the Word of God to guide your life and you start thinking biblically and theologically, it is amazing what it will do to your fears. You will sleep better. You will dream deeper. You will think beyond the standard, shallow, superficial level. You will begin to see His handiwork, and you'll say with the psalmist, verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I went pretty fast past verse 16, but I want to just return for a moment. All the days were ordained for me when there was not one of them. You're thinking, I don't get that. Nobody gets that. It's beyond us. Donald Barnhouse used to hold open forum when he was preaching in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. And Sunday night service, he'd have just a microphone. He would answer questions that kids would ask. The place would be packed, mainly with college kids, and the balcony. They loved to shout out the questions. And one quick kid says, Dr. Barnhouse, I understand that the Hebrews were in the wilderness 40 years and their shoes never wore out and their clothes never got tattered. How could that be? Barnhouse goes, God. The kid goes, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. Barnhouse said, no, you don't, son. Nobody gets it. You don't have to get it to believe it. Okay? You don't have to get it when you plug in your toaster. Just plug that sucker in, and the toast gets brown. I don't know how. Don't try to explain to me afterwards. I don't want to know. I won't get it. Oh, there's protons and neutrons and neutrons and neutrons. And please, just plug in that sucker and enjoy the toast. Would you just take this psalm and let it comfort you? Would you relax about not being able to explain it all? And would you be willing to pray the same prayer as the end of it? Search me, O God, since you know me. Investigate my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me. The Hebrew says, any way of pain. See if there's anything in me that grieves you, that breaks your heart. Reveal that to me. I want to come to terms with it because I want to be led in the way everlasting. Do that for me this Christmas season. Do that for me as the new year turns, becomes a reality, as the old year leaves. Free me from a worry world, anxieties over what I should or should not have done, filled with regret. Don't waste your time. God is at work. And now he says to you, there is a way of righteousness that you're to walk in. And the last part of the psalm says, lead me there. May you be led there throughout this season of the year. May you find satisfaction in God's handiwork and be grateful for the way he has put you together and given you your own unique personality, style. How great is that? We believe it with our children, but we have trouble believing it about ourselves. Seasons come and seasons go. Times change. But the greatest of reassurances is that God knows us, is with us, has made us, and protects us. Rest in that. Rest in that. Please bow your heads with me. We rest in you, our shield and our defender. We lean hard on you, some days harder than others. We acknowledge that without you, we can get nothing eternal accomplished. So quiet our spirit. Remind us that you're constantly at it, that you neither slumber nor sleep. You don't even nap. You are ever aware. Calm our fears. Quiet our hearts. Reassure us that you and you alone are God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We pray. Everyone said, amen.
Teaching from Psalm 139 and other relevant passages, Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Our Greatest Reassurance. Stay with us because we've set aside several minutes to hear a closing comment from Chuck. To hear Chuck's complete sermon again, just download the Insight mobile app from your favorite app store and then click on the tab that says Full Sermons. Insight for Living is made possible by people just like you who rely on Chuck's teaching as a guiding light every day. And it might surprise you to learn how many people listen to Chuck, yet how few actually get in touch with us. December is a critically important month for Insight for Living because it will set the course for 2026. So please, if it's been a while since you reached out, or maybe you've never done that, now's the time to respond. Chuck?
For a moment, think back on the first time you heard Insight for Living. Do you remember those years and the stage of life you were in? It's possible you've been listening for a long, long time. Some of you, all the way back to our beginnings in 1979. We're so grateful to have you along all these years. Lest you think I'm wrapping things up, I want to share my deepest conviction, and one that I share with our entire team. Without question, all of us at Insight for Living believe our best years are yet to come. Now, I know. Time is catching up with me. I'm aging and showing the unstoppable physical signs of doing so. But here's what keeps me going. God has placed on my heart a burning desire to see a new generation of listeners engage with the life-giving power of God's Word. At Insight for Living, we believe it's our calling and our destiny. Oh yes, the obstacles are many, but what about the opportunities to influence the next generation? Oh man, it's absolutely thrilling. Have you seen the groundswell of young people seeking after God? We're prepared to reach this generation through all the latest channels they prefer, with the best news ever. Think about that. the gospel going out through every available platform to people who desperately need hope. That's why I'm going to ask you to give your best gift to Insight for Living this year. By doing so, you will empower us to step into the new year with all the resources needed to make this vision a reality. Your generosity today will open doors we can't even imagine yet. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 15:13, because it's my prayer for you today. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what awaits you, and that's what awaits the countless people we'll reach together in the year ahead. Thanks for giving generously and doing so today.
Here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. To send your donation in the mail, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. When you give to Insight for Living, you're also supporting the translation of Chuck's teaching into multiple languages for many different countries. So the impact of your donation is multiplied. Plus, your generosity has expanded our outreach on social media. Our daily podcast is carried on all the major digital platforms, which allows us to greatly increase our audience by using all the latest channels they prefer. And we couldn't do any of this without your partnership. To speak with one of our friendly ministry reps, call us at 800-772-8888. And you can give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us again when Chuck Swindoll describes God's greatest gift, Friday, on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Our Greatest Reassurance, was copyrighted in 2015, 2016, and 2025, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2025 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.